Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the electric and zero emission future we all hope for. I'm John Curtis and I'll be joined by various members of the EV Cafe as we go through this journey. And this week, it is the wonderful, the inimitable Sarah Sloman. Say hello, Sarah.
Why, hello.
Now, this week, we've got the amazing privilege of getting to know and understand some of the wonderful pioneers, innovators and collaborators of our industry, namely Sarah Hughes from the Ben charity. Sarah number two. Hello.
Hi.
Now then, Sarah one, can you introduce Sarah two and what they do and why we're talking to somebody from Ben?
Absolutely. And for a start, I'm only Sarah one in numerical order, not in importance. So I think you should call me Sat and Sarah can just be Sarah or perhaps Patsy.
Deal.
We'll come on to that a little bit later. So it is with pleasure that I would introduce Sarah Hughes. She is the head of automotive at Ben. There's an automotive charity that we're going to learn about here. She's worked for Ben for 5 years and before that, enterprise for 20 years, I believe. And I had a call with Sarah and in just an hour, I learned all about her, how she became part of Ben, her wider work that the charity now does. And there's going to be so much more of that to come. But personally as well, I was really touched by her story about how she's a leader and her personal life. And I so enjoyed listening to her that I just thought our EV Cafe followers ought to as well. So I put Sarah forward and I also found out that she even got to sit next to the mighty Edmund King at the BVRLA Awards. So this, I'm seeing a theme here. And apparently your nickname is Patsy. So question number one has to be, why?
Well, thank you for that amazing introduction. And I said the same when I came off that call, Sarah one. I really enjoyed it. So, and thank you for inviting me today to tell everybody about Ben as well. So the question, Patsy. So during lockdown, I started delivering a lot of stuff and I was on a call with the team and bottles of gin started arriving from Amazon. So suddenly I'm now Patsy from Abfab, who doesn't drink water in her bottle. She drinks gin, allegedly.
So, bottles of gin. So we're talking multiples. So we're thinking 2, 3, maybe, if you're really, you know, liking your gin. How many?
It was actually 5, but all within the hour, but separate Amazon deliveries. So it was so embarrassing because the door, you know, when the doorbell used to go during calls and these bottles just kept arriving. And yeah, I did drink a lot of gin in lockdown.
Well, I think a lot of people were driven to drinking gin in lockdown. But you know, those days, luckily, feel so long ago now. And our paths have crossed more than once, obviously BVRLA Awards being one of them. And that was the first time I heard about Ben Automotive as a charity. And there was QR codes on the table. We were being encouraged to donate. But I went online, had a look and was really quite stunned and then pledged. I pledged to support Ben. We did a big Dragon Ride event back in June. And that was 190 miles in a day, over 14,500 feet of elevation, which was 14 hours in the saddle. We had lightning, rain, burning hot sun. We had 2 near fatalities as well. It's absolutely brutal as a course. Okay. So it was about raising thousands for Ben. But that was match funded by EV Cafe. We run a monthly charitable donation. And then Paythrough, who I work for, matched it as well. So we got chatting and talking all about more and more and more. And one of the reasons I'm sat here in this quite scruffy outfit for our podcast is because I've just done day 14 of your Benathlon challenge, which I've also signed up to. So thank you for somehow managing to get me completely involved in this charity, which I'm deeply falling in love with. Tell us more about it. The most striking thing for me, I thought Ben was a person. I think everyone says that, but actually it means benevolent fund. Is that right?
That is correct. And also we have been going for over 100 years, which not many people know. Wow. And really, our mission has always been the same, and is to make sure the lives of automotive industry people are happy. You know, make sure people, I suppose, in this day and age, are living their best lives, and we do that through through support services, through a helpline, through tips, tools, and advice on our website, through counselling, through talking therapies, through life coaching. All of this is completely accessible for our website, completely free of charge. completely available to anybody who's working or has worked in the automotive industry, and that obviously includes the EV industry as well. Honestly, it's amazing what we do. We just want to make sure that nobody suffers in silence, and you know, when there's a bump in the road, we need to be there for the people, and we need to make sure that everyone is aware of the charity and the things that we do.
Thank you. Well, something that really brought it to life for me was so in March I was awarded the 2023 Barbara Cox Woman of the Year by Caroline Burnell, who was last year's, and she was really open at this year's launch of Women in Automotive, which followed that. I think it was May time, I believe, launched by Mercedes-Benz Trucks UK, and she stood up and said how much Ben had supported her in her individual journey. And I was really impressed by her ability to be so open about that. And that was all part of the work that she'd done with Ben's support. And I hope we've all had some kind of talking therapy in our time, because it is amazing. And I just wondered, John, what's your take on Ben? Did you know it did all of that?
I was aware of it, but I didn't know the depth and breadth of the work that you do. So let's jump into that, if we may.
Yeah.
Can you be more specific about the sorts of support that you give? Because, you know, forgive me, but people who work in the automotive industry, it doesn't feel like it's ever been like coal mining or, you know, one of those really dangerous jobs. And I wonder how the charity came about, why it started, and what you actually do now to support people in what has felt like, you know, you work in a laboratory very often these days, and very clean and very organized and methodical.
Yeah, I mean, to give you some concepts, I started with Ben 5 years ago, and as Sarah said, I've been in the automotive industry for most of my working career, and you know, I've had ups and downs, as has everybody in listening to some of your previous podcasts. You know, it is you know, it's with everybody, isn't it? Their mental health. And do you know what? 5 years ago, I started at Ben. It just came about. I was just looking on LinkedIn and there was a position available, and it just sounded like something that I really wanted to do. People do come to Ben for mental health. We are not just a mental health charity, but at the moment, the majority of people that do make contact with us call about mental health. But 5 years ago, you know, as partnership manager, I went out knocking on doors, trying to tell everyone about Ben, trying to tell people that we could support, you know, businesses with mental health within their workspace. You know, so many times I was turned away. So many times I went into companies who just said, I don't want you to come and talk about mental health within my business because, you know what, everyone's going to go off sick. And genuinely, that was 5 years ago. You know, I continued on. I really enjoy promoting the charity. I really enjoy the networking. Obviously, I'd had a lot of experience of meeting with different automotive companies in my past career as well. So I had a lot of contacts. So I continued on. You know, and it was a really pivotal point was lockdown for Ben. It was difficult. The most difficult time ever. But as we came out of lockdown and people came to us for support, people wanted to know what could we do to help with COVID restrictions, what could we do to help support their people. But I know that everybody during that period probably felt some sort of mental health and could understand it more. So we sort of came out of lockdown in a smaller team, because obviously the charity just couldn't call the events, continue the way that we were. And actually we've been inundated since lockdown with people wanting to book our trip. We do a commercial training. We have got training around health and wellbeing. So people are wanting to book training with us, wanting us to talk about Ben, wanting us to be in their business. It's like a complete U-turn. So that is why this last quarter we've had our busiest, it's the busiest the helpline has ever been in the whole history of Ben's. So, which is why, you know, we need people's support and why Sarah and, you know, doing the Benathlon, Sarah doing the Dragon Ride, it's supporting and it's making more people aware of us, but also fundraising to make sure that no one has to suffer, you know, because we are getting to breaking point. You know, the NHS is struggling with with mental health, you know, depending on where you live, it's a bit of a lottery. You know, we're trying to support people as much as we can, but obviously there are, you know, increasing costs involved.
Mm. How did the charity start?
That helps.
Yeah, it does. How did it start?
It started actually before there was Social Security, before benefits existed, it was Dunlop Tyres. They would pay into like a pot, and if anybody was suffering, that money would go to support whatever requirements that they had. So if someone was ill, bereavement, you know, they would pass that money on to the families, and that's what Ben continues to do today. And we're very much around looking after people's families as well. You know, we do all sorts. I really like this example. There's a lot of examples and case studies on our website, which I can share with you. But we had an automotive employee who had a daughter with autism, and we helped fund a dog for the daughter to help her with her autism. You know, we really can do all sorts. You know, we can look at the root cause of the problem. We can look at helping with grants or look at people's benefits and how they're set up. And then we've got a mental health pathway now, where we can push them down that pathway into whatever they might require. So we've got in-house talking therapies, in-house life coaches, but we also do some more specialist external counselling as well.
Wow. One of the missions that we're on with the EV Cafe is about opening that door and making sure that people feel they have a safe place to come to learn and share and tackle problems that they're encountering. And of course, we were born out of lockdown itself for very similar reasons, not having the opportunity to meet with people, share their concerns, talk about work, talk about progress. And that's where our sort of thought leadership angle has been well established. So we have a monthly webinar, and we try to make sure that there's two key messages, one around sustainability, of course, why are we doing what we do in automotive if it wasn't for clean air and greening our transport system, but also I'd like to think that people can come to the EV Cafe to also green their mental health too. Gone are the days where it's sort of the stigma of tell me about your childhood and sit here and cry with a box of tissues. Mental health concerns can lead you down a pathway of excellent coaching, making a plan and taking a step by step towards your end goal. It doesn't have to be the stigma anymore of admitting weakness. And something that I find, Ben, it's just quite jolly when you're in the Ben community and you follow all Ben's socials. It's a really great place to be. I just want to get into why you decided to work there. You saw the advert, I know, and you had a hard knock in those first few years being turned away, and now you find yourself completely swamped. How do you manage it all? I know you're a very busy person, lots of friends, you've been on holiday, you've got family, I think. Tell us about you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You think it's the easiest thing to talk about, but... I said to my daughter, what do you think my claim to fame is for this podcast, Hilda? And she said, Mum, you can talk to anybody. So I do tend to go into my hometown of Penarth and chat a lot. So, and I do like that as well. So I have three children. So I have one who is just about to go off to university. So that's very exciting. So proud of him. Did really well in his A-levels and he's going off to Swansea University. And then I have a 14-year-old daughter who's just about to start her GCSEs. They take them a year early in Wales. And then I have a 10-year-old son who's doing his last year of primary school. So proud of all my children. I have a supportive husband who we met at Enterprise. He's still at Enterprise. So we are both an automotive family. And funnily enough, yesterday he picked up his new EV, so we now have matching cars.
Oh, how sweet. What have you got?
So I love my car, and I was very fortunate that Ford offered to loan me it. So I drive a Mustang Mach-E, and he a white one, and he now has a black Mustang Mach-E through his company. So we are going to be, my friends think it's hilarious, we're going to be the Mustang Hughes, Team Hughes family.
I love that. And the thing with mental health is that that's not black and white. You see what I did there?
No.
It's very, very much grey. We live in a world where, you know, everybody has ups and downs. But when you suffer, it is a very, very dark place to be, and everything is grey. Nothing matters. Nothing brings you joy. You must speak to people through the helpline who are in a pretty dark place. And it must give you huge personal satisfaction to know that you're involved in something which really truly matters at an individual level. You know, you're helping to raise money, raise awareness, and help real people with real problems. Have you always been a caring and supportive person? Is that part of your nature, or is that how you've become as you've moved into this sector?
My sister was really poorly when she was at school. And she did, not successfully, but attempt suicide. So I'd always had it in my remit. So she's been supported now, and she's happy. She's moved to Australia, actually, with two children. You know, it's all okay. And I hadn't really understood it. You know, I was 4 years older than her, but I hadn't really understood it at the time. I was actually on my year abroad when she did it. But it did, you know, it did. Yeah, I wanted to protect her. It was actually caused the bullying, and I did everything I could to try and protect her. So I did have experience of it, and obviously mental health myself as well. When I went back to Enterprise after my third child, Arthur, I didn't know what happened. I was just really struggling. I was just like overwhelmed with life and couldn't work out why I wasn't getting excited about doing stuff on a weekend or seeing friends. And I've got a really good network. I always had a really good network. And I do talk a lot. I was able to speak to people, but I just couldn't understand what was happening to me. And you know what? I didn't want to go to the doctors and speak to anybody. And, you know, I went to Enterprise and they were great. They've got a really good, like, setup. And I actually ended up seeing a life coach who, she just supported me. And, you know, I'd definitely recommend life coaching to anybody. We just talked every 2 weeks for an hour at a time. And, you know, just about stuff that, you know, I probably could talk to my friends about, but I used to love these calls with Joe. And, you know, it's funny because I thought I was the only person that was suffering at Enterprise, but I was amazed to find out that so many, you know, more senior people than me and everybody actually had been seeing Joe. Not that I should have known, but I did find out. yeah, and I suppose when I saw the advert for Ben, maybe all these things just led me to think, yeah, I do want to go out and tell the industry that it's okay not to be okay. You know, make sure you're checking in with people, make sure you're asking, are you okay? No, really, are you okay? You know, I just think, you know, Enterprise did look after me, and I didn't get into a worse situation, but unfortunately, and especially for the last 2-3 years, we've seen, you know, a rising number of suicides within the industry, and it's just why, you know, we've got to stop that. We've got to stop that. People need to know where to turn and need to know that there's people they can talk to. We've got Ben's Big Breakfast, sorry to plug, but we've got Ben's Big Breakfast in October. So that coincides with World Mental Health Day on the 10th of October. So we're asking companies to hold a breakfast, get people to take a break, sit with their colleagues, have a breakfast, talk about Ben a little bit, raise a bit of money, and, you know, just think about their mental health and making sure that everybody's okay and we're looking after everybody.
Can we make you an offer right now? I'm just winging this one. Can we do an EV Cafe Ben Big Breakfast on the 10th of October, where we open up the cameras, we have a webinar, we get people to come along, share their breakfast with us, have a bit of a chat, invite people in, raise some money for you? Because I was aware of Ben, but not really what you do. You've got me now. Can we do that, Sarah?
Yeah, John,
we couldn't do what we do without the support that we have. And you know what, we need more support. We've got some amazing companies that support us. I will name drop later. And they help us, you know, do what we do. But yeah, it'd be fantastic to have you involved, and anybody that subscribes to you.
And equally, we are blessed to have, you know, 8,500 people who are part of our community, most of them in our sector, and work with some amazing companies. And I'm pretty sure that if we all work together, run in the same direction, we can support each other even more than we do already. So we will work with you now to get something together for the 10th of October to make sure that we make the very best of the Big Breakfast.
It can be any time that week. So some people are doing breakfast every day. Some people are doing one breakfast. Some people are, you know, it's that whole week. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be the 10th.
Cool. Okay. We'll work on that.
I'm super into it. The 10th, though, is the EV World Congress where the EV Cafe will be on stage. So I will happily mention it, though, on the day.
Thank you.
Because it is a great, great cause. And as I said earlier, I think what Ben does so well is it makes it fun. And having an opportunity to talk is the big shift that's changed. People have stopped recognising suicide as something that people do and much more about something that happens to them like any other health concern or disastrous death. And of course, with our industry being still heavily skewed in the male kind of counters, it feels to me like Ben's more relevant than ever if we can get that language barrier down to invite people to take that first step to talk. And things like the breakfast do just that. I recently passed my motorcycle exam a year ago nearly, and I've noticed how sociable bikers are, and they'll go out on a Sunday or whatever, they'll have a ride. The ride is just a means to an end. The ride is to get them to somewhere to sit and talk. And so they'll sit and have their breakfast and their coffee and whatever, and then ride back. And it's about carving out time for just you. And I really, really resonate with your story. I don't have three children. I had two stepchildren and my own child. And there was a sort of a big span between all of them. And going back to work after that is, how much capacity do you think one human brain has if you're having to think about three other humans plus your other half? And you're lucky you've got a very supportive other half, but you've got to think about everything. Just this morning, my inbox was full and somebody was saying, oh, I'm really struggling. I was awake at 4 a.m. and I've started to call, because lots of people contact me and I really appreciate that, because one, it gives me perspective on what other people are going through and I like to help. But otherwise, it also reminds me that everybody out there is going through something when you are too. So I call them the 4 a.m. worrier warriors, because they're awake at 4 a.m. They didn't want to be awake at 4 a.m., but they are. And they're not running through life and death. They're not running through, you know, sadness and sorrow. It's a brain spin. They're thinking and thinking and thinking. Capacity is far too great. And this is why we think it's so important to just allow a moment to write down those worries and see if you can just shut that notepad and go back to sleep even for another hour or two, and things will feel brighter the next day. And I think, yeah, it's wonderful to hear you talk about your family. You're in Wales. I'm very jealous of this. We also touched on the EV rally. What's he gone for? What's he going to get? Those who aren't watching, John has disappeared off to grab a massive Welsh flag. Oh, look at that. I know that flag. Brilliant. John and I, we held that as we walked across the Cardiff Barrage to start this year's EV rally, which I know you found very interesting, actually, didn't you, when we talked about it. But hopefully you can get involved in that next year. But in the meantime, I'm curious, Sarah, I want to know what is your, or who actually, go on, who's your biggest influence in your life? What's caused you to be the way you are? We've heard about your sister and I'm really glad you shared that, and I'm pleased that feels in the past, judging by your face, it feels in the past for now. So who now is your biggest influence?
I was really thinking about this before I think I've had lots of influences in my life. Definitely my parents. My dad worked his way up to be a director of a kitchen company where I worked for a little bit. I was really proud of him, and you know, it is when they used to have the director's offices, you know. There was like this director, director two, director three, and I used to go into the office and I was helping out in credit control and I'd be like, that's my dad, you know. It's and he's always had a really strong work ethic, and even back in 2005 when I had Ronnie, you know, not everybody did go back to work then as a female. I was one of the first in enterprise really in the north where I was working to have a baby. I was the first person to go through that, and dad encouraged me to go back to work. He was really good about, you know, he didn't sort of, he wasn't old school. He didn't suggest that I stay at home with the child. And I wanted to go back to work. I wanted to go back to my career that I'd forged out and worked hard for. So I did. So yeah, definitely my dad and my mum too. She's been a massive support. And then I think I've had some amazing managers, and I think, you know, you always, yeah, I think a company is a company and it's got its culture, but I think you really work for your manager, don't you? And I think my first manager I followed to Wales. So he was promoted with an enterprise to Wales. I'm still friends with him now, Mark Winfield. He moved from enterprise, but he came to be regional manager in Wales and suggested that Richard and I should do apply for some jobs within enterprise in Wales because there were some openings. And that's why we ended up in Wales, because I followed an inspirational manager. And then now at Ben, I've been here 5 years because I'd like to name drop, but Matt and the team are just amazing. They inspire me every day. So yeah, I think, yeah, I've just had some amazing inspirational people and role models, and maybe not female role models, but really good role models that have helped me and understood as a female that I can do it and I own my right to be at the table. But I've had that, you know, I have lacked confidence in the past, and I don't know, I've had a bit of a turning point over the last few years.
Ooh, turning point.
Gosh, talk I've been very about... open, sorry.
Talk to us about your turning point. So what was the turning point for you?
Do you know what? I was thinking about this last night, knowing I was coming on here today. I think when I turned 40.
You're never 40. Behave.
I'm older. So on my 40th, I wanted to do something mad. So I went to Las Vegas and jumped off the stratosphere.
As you do.
But yeah, something happened, obviously, on the way down. Something shook me up, and yeah.
Was it one of those sort of life-affirming moments where you just thought, yeah, I can do anything?
I can do anything. If I can jump off this, people were, my friends that I were with, they were like, what are you doing? Like, one of the guys couldn't even look over the edge of it. And he's like, you're jumping off it in a suit. I don't know if it's an age thing as well, being honest, but yeah, I definitely wish I'd been more confident throughout my career. I'm very happy in the situation I'm in, but I might have been in a very different situation if I had owned it a little bit more. And I think I did a lot in enterprise really early days because they were so great of women in leadership, and they still do amazing stuff now at enterprise for women in leadership. And they've got some, there's still some of my friends there, there's some really senior females in positions, and that's come from the work they did a very long time ago.
What's the best way? Because it's interesting. Here I sit with two of the leading women in our sector, you know, and it does, it irritates me every time I hear that women have to fight so hard to be equal. I'm the dad of three daughters, and it irritates me massively that they have to almost be half as good again as any man to get equal footing. It just, what can we do about that? Because that's a mental strain, isn't it, that we put on a huge part of our workforce to be competitive, but not only as good as, you have to be better than the men. Do you subscribe to that view that you're having to run at 150 miles an hour when your male colleagues are only running at 100?
I think it's also about role models as well. You look in the industry, you know, it is still very male dominated, and we need to celebrate. I know obviously Sarah's just recently been awarded Woman of the Year, but we need to do, you know, more of that, and know that people can go through the career as a female and get to the top levels. And I think we're quite far behind, and I think we're getting there now, but I think it's just come from history, and it's just not, you know, even, you know, my son's just turned 18, and, you know, I'm talking about 2005, where I, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't think it was the right thing for me to do to go back to work. You know, they wanted me to stay home with the baby, and I was like, no, I want to go and have my career. And you needed to see people that were doing that. You needed to have a role model to be able to understand it. And you know, I did a lot. There was a handful of women in enterprise that would literally go and tell their story to every group. This is what I do. This is how I do it. This is how I, you know, they're brilliant at really supporting that. And I think if everybody did that, and there was, you know, you knew you could achieve, then I don't think there's anything stopping them. I don't think they need to work any harder. People just need to understand better.
That's brilliant. Well, oh, that's a soundbite, isn't it? Oh, people need to understand better. Oh, I like that.
It is nice, because I did ask you who is your biggest influence, but I don't think you're even a tiny bit aware that you're probably quite a few people's influence. I don't think you're even a tiny bit aware that anything you've gone through with your own self-confidence is now not here. None of us can sense that in you. I'm so glad that you are aware, however, that your three children will absolutely look up to you in exchange for the praise and pride that you take when you talk about them, which is really, really touching. On the whole, having to work harder as a female thing, I completely agree with you. Unfortunately, my answer is yes, we do, and harder still, because if we don't, then it may not be the case for our daughters, if those of us who have got daughters. We are, at this age and stage and period, really pushing through to make that acceptable, even going through an ESG process, so that's environmental sustainable governance, social governance. You have to account for your social status. You have to show what your leadership team consists of, and it's extremely revealing. What we do have to be careful to do, though, is to not start saying tit for tat, that for that, male for female, cut black and white. What it is about doing, though, is widening that skills gap and access to skills and learning, so that it doesn't become, well, that person is better for the job because they have had 20 years worth of experience, when that other person couldn't possibly have 20 years of experience because they are the one who bore the child. So it's that bit that we have to sort of cut out of people's career is the fear around going back to work, capacity that we talked about earlier, not being able to take on a full-time role and children, and sharing the load. Now, you said enterprise was really great. What exactly did they do for you back then to help you get back in after your third child?
They did all sorts. They just had a program, and it wasn't great with my first child. I think they learned. I was the first one. Enterprise had moved over from the US to the UK, set up, and you know, it was probably 3-4 years in, and I had a baby. There was other people having babies, but it was the first person in the Yorkshire group at the time. You know, and they did learn. And by the time I had Arthur, they were doing sort of return to work programs, keeping in touch days, you know, just everything to make you feel part of the company while you were off on maternity leave. Just a real support network with mentoring as well. And Ben, to be fair, I've got a really small team. We are a really small team, but I have actually got an employee who's due to go on maternity leave in March. You know, even today, you know, she's worried. Oh, I'm pregnant, and what am I going to do? I'm like, it is what it is. You know, you the position will be here for you when you decide to return. You don't need to tell me when. We are here, you know, to support you with whatever, and we'll keep in touch with you if you want. I just think it's about having the right support and making sure that as a company you are doing the most you can to make it easy to work. Ben are very flexible. I've worked from home even when I started 5 years ago, and that was life changing. You know, I know in some positions you can't work from home the whole time. I mean, I still go out, but my base is home, and that did change things a lot for me with three children in school at the time. And stuff does, you know, just get easier. As soon as my son learned to drive, he's been helping out a little bit more, but there are school pickups, rugby drop-offs, football matches, netball matches. I think one weekend we did football presentation Friday, rugby presentation Saturday, and an all-day netball match on Sunday, and then you go back to work.
Yeah, for a rest.
For a rest, yeah.
Now then, let me ask you this final question from me. If we could help in some way with a key message from Ben that could go out to all of the people who are kind enough to listen to this podcast,
yeah.
what would your key message be? How could we best support you in getting your messages out about the great stuff that Ben do? What do you want to say to the people who listen?
Do you know what? I would just love if, you know, from today that this message got out to anybody that doesn't know about Ben, and within your companies, we have tools to support promoting the charity. We can come in and talk to employees. You know, you could do an event for us so you build up the awareness as well as fundraising at the same time, but just really make sure that everybody knows about Ben and knows that we're there as a support. Okay. You can sign up on the website for tips, tools and advice. So even if I could share a link to the website where the people can sign up that are listening or viewing the podcast, I just want everybody, ideally, if everybody in the automotive industry or who've worked in the automotive industry knew about Ben, that would be amazing.
All right, let's see what we can do with that. What's the website address, please?
It's www.ben.org.uk. Easy.
Yeah, it's easy.
Not easy on
right.
the end.
but it's really key. I mean, that's one of the things that we do is we communicate other people's messages. This is not about us. This is very much about you and Ben and the people that you help. And so, you know, as somebody who has had his little dalliance with or mental health, is your service open to me? Do I count as being part of the automotive sector, having spent the last 12, 13 years promoting clean transport?
Yes, you do.
Boom! Excellent. Sarah, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I want to know, we've managed to get to know you so well over this and heard a lot about Ben, and I am confident that people will enjoy. Oh, the Ben Athlon has been so fun. A couple of years ago, I started doing 20 minutes of exercise every single day without fail, and there was a rule to that. It wasn't about doing exercise, it was about forcing yourself to take a break. So you can't just sort of be on the phone and walk around. You can't take the kids to school. That doesn't qualify. It's about taking time for yourself and moving your body and resting your mind for just 20 minutes. Now, of course, Ben Athlon, though, for those that don't know or haven't followed me, how very dare you? How dare you not follow my socials on the Ben Athlon? But every day has to be a minimum of 30 minutes. So I've had to up my game. And it's just so nice to incrementally increase your efforts and therefore see people seeing you digging deep. The problem I've got is when I asked for money for the dragon ride versus asking money for going for a walk for half an hour, I don't think people are paying up. So dig deep, guys. So please, please, please get involved. But for you personally, I want to know what you're excited about. As you said, your kids grown up, things are getting easier, your job's going well. Tell us something that you're looking forward to and what motivates you.
Personal wise, or do you think?
Whatever you want. I know you've just had a wonderful holiday. Somebody asked this to the other day, said they dream of beautiful corner sofa and a newly decorated house, and that's what excited them. I dream of some kind of beauty pageant style world peace and global sustainability. What have you got?
I do love going on holiday, and I do have quite a few things booked.
More bottles of gin.
I celebrate 20 years of marriage next year, and my husband proposed to me in Santorini at Sunset Point, but unfortunately I was reading a very good book, so it was in pitch black. That's a long story. But we are going back. We are going back to Santorini after 20 years to celebrate our anniversary together next June. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And then is absolutely
a few trips
adorable
in between.
That's so cute. You really are as good as you sound. Honestly, for goodness sake, wish we could all live a life like you. I do. Yeah.
You do, John.
I'm just back from holiday, and it's 10 years that I've been married. Just
congratulations.
Bless you, and bless you for 20. You deserve a medal, or maybe your husband does. Listen, Sarah, it's been an absolute privilege to get to know you and the work that you do. As we've been talking, I've figured that what we're going to do on the 13th of October, we are going to not broadcast the news. We ordinarily on a Friday morning, 10 a.m, broadcast the news that's happening in the industry. The whole news programme is going to be about Ben and what you're doing and sharing breakfast with the people who tune in. And perhaps we can work on some stories that we can use to promote Ben, what you do, how you do it, and raise some money for you. So October the 13th is yours.
Thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me today. It was my first podcast, so I hope I haven't talked too much.
You couldn't. When you're with me and Sarah, you couldn't possibly talk too much.
Oh, that's okay then.
So thank you for joining the EV Cafe podcast, The Takeaway, the place where we get behind the job title and learn a little bit about the people in our industry. We're, of course, available on the EV Cafe website at evcafe.org. And once more, Sarah, the Ben email web address, please,
is www.benben.org.uk.
Perfect. Check us both out. We're on social media. If you want to check us out on LinkedIn, we've got about 8,500 other people who care very much about the automotive sector and mental health. Until the next podcast, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. I'm John. Bye-bye.